Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by the Michigan Cherry Committee. Learn more about the wonderfully tart Montmorency Cherry at choosecherries.com.
This week on Meetin' 3, we look at how we've adapted to a new normal during the pandemic. From the business of restauranteering and the new habits of composters, to learning from the past to prepare for the future, we're exploring what came before and what lies ahead.
People in charge of the collections and the acquisitions looked at me and were like, what the hell are you trying to sell me cookery for?
These kids are so young and we're teaching them that it's okay to throw out all this food, and we have to figure out a way to educate these students to make them, you know, lifelong environmentalists.
Tune in to Meetin' 3 wherever you get your podcasts for the latest stories in the world of food.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show celebrating Asian cuisine and culture as we have conversations with the passionate people from the world of Asian food. I'm your host, Linda Liu. In this episode, we continue to catch up with our friends and former guests on what they've been up to in this unusual time of COVID-19. We record remotely with Chef Lin Lin of Bricolage, the Vietnamese gastropub in Park Slope, and owner Michael Gyogoku and chef Emily Yuan of Besso, the modern Japanese comfort food restaurant in Soho. Without further ado, here are our conversations.
Hey Lin, whereabouts are you right now?
Hi Linda, I am in Los Angeles, California.
Wow.
Beautiful, sunny Los Angeles, California. Yep, 3,000 miles away.
Lucky you. How long have you been out there? And what made you decide to quarantine out west?
I have been out here since May 1st. And we left New York, Brooklyn on April 20th. Well, given the pandemic, it gave me the reason to come over to California. My husband and I, Ed, were talking about, we're entertaining the idea of coming back to California because our entire support system's here and the kids are getting older and we just want to be closer to family. And then when the pandemic hit, it just kind of made the decision for us. And my family was encouraging us to come back sooner rather than later. And so that brought me out here where the kids have more space to run. My family's here to help out with the kids and I'm here to help them out too. So, you know what they say with the family and kids, it takes a village. So here
yeah,
I am.
Of course. And how many kids do you have again?
I have three boys, ages 9,
that's
three,
right.
And 1.
Yeah, it takes a village.
It's a handful. It's a handful, and it's been very interesting and quite challenging in some ways. Having the three in quarantine and doing the homeschooling, which has been challenging, but we are getting through it.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you were already talking to Ed about moving back to California. Was there an original time frame against that? Before Corona?
Yeah, we were talking maybe the end of the school year in June to do that. So Jackson could finish school and we have some time to wrap things up in New York and figure out what to do with Bricolage.
Yeah. So what is the plan currently for Bricolage?
Well, right now... Oh, sorry. Go on.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, well, right now, since I'm in California, I am still involved with Bricolage. We've been talking to our partners and the team every day almost, and they have actually just reopened. We have just reopened for to-go business now. Because originally, originally we shut down everything. But mm-hmm. we decided since there's no sign of the restaurant seating opening up soon, that we wanted to see if we could make the to-go takeout business work for us for now.
Yeah. And yeah. Tell me about how you made your decision first to close everything down. I assume back in March then.
Oh, it was really just based on the health and safety of our employees and the community, really. We just thought it was the responsible thing to do.
Yeah, totally yeah. makes sense. And
I always err on the side of safe, rather safe than sorry.
Right.
Right. When it comes to health things and issues. So, yeah, it was an easy choice for us.
Mm. And so you're head chef at Bricolage, or yes. former head chef. Who's managing the... behind the restaurant and the takeout business.
Yeah, well, before we left, we're so lucky to find Emiliano, who had worked at Rosewater for many, many years. And he was managing the kitchen over there. And he is amazing, loves food, loves the hospitality industry. Ed and I both worked with him hands-on at Bricolage before we had to shut down. And yeah, right now he's taking care of the whole to-go thing, and I'm super confident that he's going to be able to do that. And he is a very talented chef as well, and a great manager in the kitchen.
Great. That's great. Person. That timing yeah. worked out so well then.
It did. We're so lucky. Oh,
wow.
It's like, woo!
So you remain as a consultant for the restaurant, would you say?
Yes. I right now am on consulting basis with them right now, since I'm obviously 3,000 miles away and can't physically be there.
Yeah. And what does that role look like?
Well, right now it's just continuing training as much as possible. Like, I'm always, thank goodness for Zoom and FaceTime, where I'm able to actually see the people I'm talking to and show them things, maybe do recipes with them and techniques, show them on the video and how to do that. And also a lot of Ed's taken over most of the front of the house stuff. So training everyone on how using the POS system, doing all the finance stuff. And then, of course, I'm doing all the back of the house kitchen stuff and helping them with putting together menus. Because right now we're serving a limited menu, a more casual fare mm-hmm. than what we had before. So we had to streamline that and see how that's going to work throughout the kitchen. And since I know the recipe so well and know the kitchen like the back of my hand, so it's easy for me on this end to help with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness for technology. It's not just for office jobs. It spans industries. I'm so glad you guys can make that work.
Yeah. And even in schools right now, too, right? With the kids being in school online, too, it's been very interesting.
And do you think you'll be opening a version of Bricolage or another project out west? I know this might be still very fresh. You guys just got there, but have you started thinking about that?
Yes, actually, we have a couple ideas lined up that we're not really talking about yet, because now things are changing. So I don't want to say anything too soon, but we do have a couple of projects lined up out here in the west. So
that's great.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. Any sense of what city that's going to be in? Will it also be in LA?
That is to be determined. we are really wanting to go up north a little bit more.
Huh.
Yeah. Maybe to Palo Alto is a possibility.
Right.
Yeah, but we're just going to see how things go, because all this uncertainty, and I think, you know, and I'm not the only person who's feeling that. I think a lot of people are feeling that way. There's just so much uncertainty, so we're just going to have to see how things go and where we land.
Yeah, wherever you land, that community is going to be so lucky to have you guys in that great food.
Thank you, Linda.
Do you think you'll be starting an Asian food mafia branch out in Cali?
That is definitely a possibility. I talked to Chris about it. I'm like, I'm still a part of you guys, right? He's like, yeah, of course, always. I'm like, okay, we'll start a West Coast side then.
Yeah, a West Coast branch.
Yes.
And any thoughts on moving back down the line? Like anything that would make you guys come back?
Not at this point, but it's a possibility. Anything is open. But Ed and I really wanted to end up back west because, again, that is where our family, both our parents live here, all our siblings are here, and it's just nice to have them around and for the kids to grow up together, which we find is, is super important.
What's the experience been like for you guys and, of course, the kids quarantining out in California versus New York?
Oh, it's so much better. I feel like there's been a weight lifted off my shoulders. I mean, I love New York and I loved living in my apartment, but I didn't have an outside space. And things are so crammed in together that it just, people are on top of one another. And there was just, it didn't feel very safe to go out. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't room for kids to run around. And now they can just go outside anytime they want, ride their bike, jump in the pool, help my parents water the garden, pick vegetables, and, you know, pick fruit off the fruit tree and eat it. So it's just lovely over here. Right now we have tons of lettuce. Oh my goodness. My parents are like, I knew you were coming. So I grew all this lettuce and we're eating lettuce with everything right now. It's delicious.
That's the California style eating. What else are you guys growing in the garden? I mean, of course, that's such a luxury.
Yeah, they have like a lot of Asian vegetables. So they have gailan, nice. Which is Chinese broccoli.
Yeah.
They have some a-choy and some dongguo. The winter melon is growing soon. And they have some fugua, the bitter melon coming. And my parents are super excited about the Logan fruit. They have a Logan fruit tree. Good selection. They're like, ooh, it's going to be good this year. And they also have some dragon fruit. They have orange tree. They have a persimmon tree.
All right, how big is this garden exactly?
Well, my parents, they actually have an acre. A plot of land, which is, you know, they grew up as farmers, and so they've always loved gardening. And growing up throughout my entire life, I've always had a garden in the backyard. And in upstate New York, we had chickens and ducks and a garden and trees. And over here we used to have chickens, but they don't raise chickens anymore. Just a garden now.
That's so cool for the boys to experience that.
Yeah, my parents have a green thumb. Like for me, I can't even keep a cactus alive in my house. I don't know how I'm gonna carry on when we leave LA, but we'll see.
Yeah. So, what have you been cooking at home then with this bountiful selection?
We try to eat a lot of the lettuce fresh, and so we're doing a lot of lettuce wrapping anything in lettuce. My parents, they stocked up, and so they say they have like a year's worth of food in the freezer, and I believe them.
That's they were kind of like an Asian way.
Yeah, they were really worried about the pandemic, and I mean, I expect them to be very safe and taking precautions. You know, they fled Vietnam and they're refugees and they came here with nothing, so they are being
very
careful
for a reason.
Exactly. So basically we've been kind of doing clear out the freezer dinner.
Yeah, that's a fun challenge.
Yeah,
that's like everyone's COVID challenge, where like we overcompensated in bulk buying back in March. And now I'm like, oh, I really do have 10 boxes of pasta and like 10 bags of dried beans.
how many ways can we prepare this without having to get sick of it? Yeah, exactly. But what really drives our cooking is what's available in the garden and what's going to go not last long in the garden. Because the lettuce is very, very perishable. Like you, as soon as you harvest it, you have a couple of days to eat it, and that's it. If you let it sit out there growing, then it gets really old and it starts turning really bitter. So we're just eating it as fast as we can right now.
You're like little rabbits.
Yes, lettuce.
Yeah, that's so great to be able to eat so local, so seasonal. What else have you been up to? Any quarantine projects or hobbies you've taken up?
Catching up on podcasts.
That's a fun one. Yeah, especially if you had a long drive out there too.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like during the drive out here, we did not listen to anything or watch. I've been actually not watching any Netflix or listening to podcasts on our way over here. It was just dealing with the kids and managing them was a lot. So and they're really lovely, but they are a handful and a lot of work. I'm exercising more. I guess it's a good thing. Yoga, meditation. I've taken.
Yeah, that's very Californian of you. You got like right into it.
Yeah. Walking around the house. So this is a fun thing that my family does every night. So after dinner, like around 8 o'clock, we all walk around the house for an hour.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember my grandparents doing that. They were always like, oh, this is so good for digestion.
It is. It's fantastic. Now I do it every night, and that's and that's when I catch up on my podcast. I'm like, okay, I just turn on my podcast, and we just walk around the house.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
I visit the garden, weave in and out.
Totally. And it's a lot of fun. But otherwise, like Ed and I have been just, since we've been here, we've been helping my parents like do deep cleanings and washing windows and power washing the driveway. Those are our projects right now.
For sure. That's going to keep you busy for quite a while.
Oh, it is. And my parents are loving it. They're like, this is great. Thanks.
Yeah, don't leave. Stay. <Yeah. laughs> Let me keep bribing you with this lettuce and amazing bounty.
Yeah, and helping us with the kids too. I'm like, all right, yeah, you go do that, and I'll like spray the driveway for a while you watch the kid.
Oh my gosh.
Spend some time with the grandkids.
And what was the drive out there like, other than of course managing the kids? Were you able to stop by some sites along the way?
We were. Once we hit more the West Coast, though, the East Coast, there was a lot of interesting weather. I mean, just in the span of a couple of days, there was like hail and a little snowstorm.
Yeah, I remember that week.
Rain.
That's right.
It was just so interesting. And then all of a sudden, it was really sunny and hot. So there was a couple of nights where we're camping, we had to turn on the heater. And then a couple of days later, we were turning on the air conditioner. But we did get to see the Horseshoe Bend, which is close
so
by.
So beautiful.
Oh, it's so gorgeous. And unbelievable. Like, during this time, too, like, I'm sad the pandemic has happened. But there was no one out there. And
yeah, I was going to ask, were there other travelers on the road that you bumped into?
Very few. And of course we're trying to be as responsible as possible, and we knew Horseshoe Bend was open, but we're like, okay, we're gonna go there, and if there's not a lot of cars parked there and we think it looks pretty empty, then we'll go and we'll do the short hike, because the hike is only like maybe 40 minutes round trip. So
yeah,
it's
manageable
really not
for a team of five.
Yes, totally manageable for a team of five. Yeah, and it was gorgeous. And there was only like two other or three other parties out there. Small parties, groups of people.
So, that's great.
Yeah, it was great. Oh, we got to hang out at the Colorado River at the place that they call Lee's Ferry. So within 700 miles, that is the only place that you can actually step foot into the river. And the water was so clear and so beautiful. Just gorgeous. Very, very, very memorable.
Well, I can't wait to see those photos.
I will send them along.
Yeah, I'll definitely post them on our Instagram as well. And thank you, Lynn, for chatting with me.
Thank you, Linda.
So great to catch up. I really miss you loads, and I look forward to visiting you and Cali.
Yeah, and I will definitely come back to New York to visit. And when you are out here, please come and visit. I would love to catch up and say hello.
All right. Take care.
Okay. You too. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by the Michigan Cherry Committee. A cherry isn't just a cherry. When it comes to tart cherries, the wonderfully U.S.-grown Montmorency tart cherry variety is the cherry with more. They're available year-round, dried, frozen, canned, juice, and concentrate. U.S. Montmorency tart cherries are also one of America's superfruit, which means they're good for you. Tart cherries contain many antioxidants and beneficial phytonutrients, including anthocyanins, the pigments that give tart cherries their beautiful red color. And don't forget about flavor. U.S. Montmorency's unique sour-sweet profile makes them an excellent addition to yogurt, oatmeal, salads, trail mix, and of course, a classic cherry pie. Learn more about the wonderfully U.S.-grown Montmorency tart cherry at choosecherries.com.
Hey, ladies. How have you guys been?
We're doing okay. This is Maiko.
Yeah, we're doing all right given the situation. This is Emily.
Yeah. What's the current status of Besso, the restaurant, right now?
So this is Michael. Right now, we are doing some limited takeout and delivery at Besso. And we are also providing relief meals to hospitals. But we are, you know, basically taking it day by day and and seeing what we can do to keep afloat and, you know, keep the operations alive right now while the lockdown is still in place.
Right. And when did Besso close for dine-in?
We closed Besso the same day that the Governor Cuomo announced the lockdown. So that was March 17th.
Right. And what did you do next?
We stayed in. We stayed home. We
quarantined for a lot at home.
Yeah. We kind of hunkered down at home and were, I don't know, we talked to each other a lot, talked to our staff a lot, figuring out what to do.
And making sure we provide, like, you know, the support that our staff needs, you know, emotionally. And any like questions that they had, because I mean, I think we were all in the same boat together, not knowing that it was going to happen,
or not knowing also like that it would be 2+ months of this,
right?
So you know, initially we thought it would just be maybe till the end of the month, and then as things you know went on, it was clear that this would be a very long lockdown, and so. You know, it's been every day has just been kind of taking it one day at a time. But at this moment, you know, most of our staff are home in their respective homes. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have gone back to their home states to be with their family. And it's basically been myself and Emily just kind of holding down the fort.
Holding down the fort, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Do you feel like you know, there's like a light at the end of this situation now with some like firmer plans that we're seeing with the city reopening in phases?
I think that it's going to be a struggle for a while. Like, I really don't see restaurants recovering from this for the rest of the year. You know, I think it'll be at least 6 months before there's like a light. Yeah. I mean, I'll be like, that's
yeah,
like,
to be honest about that. Yeah.
Yeah. My realistic assessment. I just feel like the combination of limitations on like occupancy and existing rents and other, you know, fixed costs and just people's fears of getting back to normal or coming out. You know, there's like a growing group of New Yorkers that like want to be out right now. Mm-hmm. But I mm-hmm. think that there's just as many people who are afraid to go back to work or to dine out. I think that that's going to be a real hurdle for restaurants going into, you know, the summer and the fall.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I personally cannot wait to visit restaurants again and just support everyone in person. But at the same time, like to your point, like, oh, I feel still like uncomfortable taking the subway and being in larger crowds for an extended period of time without a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Do you guys feel the same way?
I mean, we have not, like, we don't take the subway to work. Like, I bought, like, an electric scooter, so I haven't taken the subway to and from work for, like, yeah, like, since the lockdown. Mm-hmm. And my husband driving, so, I mean, we definitely don't really want to take the subway right now.
Yeah, taking, like, alternate modes of transportation is right. the way yeah. to go.
Yeah. I mean, for a lot of our staff, that's not going to be possible. And yeah. so that's like a huge issue as well. Like, how are they going to get back to work once things are, you know, kind of in full swing and we need them back? I mean, we're
right.
this is also trying to figure out how, you know, how are they going to monitor, I don't know, like people overcrowding subways and mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah, it's pretty impossible. There's not going to be like social distancing in the subway cars. So, mm-hmm.
and some of our employees yeah. live with their parents as well. So I think that's like really hard to like ask them to like take the subway to come to work or if they even feel comfortable at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to think about all the friends and family of each and every individual. I mean, it definitely sounds like the landscape obviously is not going to look the same when it reopens. Mm-hmm. How have you guys been adapting the business currently for the time? So, Michael, you mentioned that you guys are doing some, is it like delivery and meal kit boxes?
Yeah, we're doing... you know, we're doing some pantry items and it's prepared foods and really focusing our attention on items that people could use at home that we prepare at the restaurant so that the home cook doesn't need to, you know, make a meal from scratch, basically. Mm-hmm. So we're preparing items like tonkatsu pork cutlets, you know, we have our famous fried chicken and we usually double fry it at the restaurant, but we're selling off the first fry batch so that people
right. can
get at home. Yeah. And
marinated meat, fish.
Yeah. And like dinner ideas like salmon hand roll kits. So you can do like a sushi, you know, like have your own sushi party at home.
That's great. And what has the reception for that been like so far?
it's been good. I mean, the sushi dinner, and we're doing like a summer picnic bundle. So there's like a bucket of karaage and then potato salad, crispy rice on the side. And that's been quite popular. I think people like items that feel a little bit transporting, you know, because you're stuck at home and are maybe cooking the same items and you kind of want something that reminds you of the days you used to go out or, you know,
right. And you want the summer that's about to come.
Yeah. So we see items like that selling a lot more.
Gotcha. Yeah. And, how have you guys taken part in the PPP loans or any of the government supported programs? Has that helped at all?
We did apply for and get approved for the PPP loan, but you know, it really hasn't helped that much. We are waiting for the government to change some of its some of the rules and guidelines for forgiveness of that loan. Cause at the moment, you have to rehire your employees within 8 weeks of receiving the money in order to get any sort of forgiveness, which is impossible as a restaurant when we're on lockdown and we don't have dine in. So, you know, that in itself is really just kind of hinders us from utilizing that loan, but also, it's also that right now, you know, the unemployment that people are receiving has a boost of a certain amount. So people are receiving more than they usually earn from unemployment. So it's hard to incentivize staff to come back when they're making more, not working right now. So even if, you know, even though we have asked people, they are, you know, more inclined to ride this period out, receiving employment at the moment.
Yeah, that's such a challenging situation.
I mean, it's also just like, I completely get it. It's also just not, you know, the safest feeling to be going back to work because of the subways and all that. And, you know, there's multiple layers of concern. But I think, you know, financially, too, people are, you know, at least the ones who have the unemployment, you know, who are receiving it right now, like it's hard to incentivize them to come back at this moment because of the extra boost they're receiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it sounds like it's, you know, all hands on deck between you and Emily right now. how are you guys, you know, splitting up the roles? Like, you know, what does a typical day or week look like? Or that's really hard to say in this current moment.
I think our roles kind of have changed. I think, like, you know, Mike, as before, like, you know, Micah wouldn't have to be so much more like involved in the kitchen, but now I really don't have, I really need the help. So,
yes.
Yeah, like, I mean, Michael has been just like, you know, stepped into the kitchen a lot more, just plating everything and like kind of wherever, you know, we're both kind of needed. So we just do it.
Yeah. I mean, we do have someone who helps us right now that we actually hired someone new. And then we have one person who has come back part time. So yeah, and then our porter, who's like been with us since, been with us for a long time, has come back, and so, you know, it's us and then three other people. But I mean, most days it's really just Emily and I toggling from kitchen to, you know, the front right now is basically like taking orders over the phone, talking, you know, like giving delivery people the orders and packing up orders and such. So
it's more than a handful. You're doing the job of just like an entire team. And on top of everything you guys are doing, tell me about all the special projects you've also taken on with the community during this time. So I saw on your Instagram, there was like some meals for healthcare workers that you delivered, as well as participating in the Food Hub NYC. What was all of that?
Well, initially when we closed and I think there was like a couple of days where the lockdown hadn't been in place yet, or I'm not,
there's all these like kind of gray areas of the like what was like a rule and what was like a state order, or what was just like and the days are just blurring to each other.
I mean, like 2 months ago seems like a decade ago right now, but I mean, basically back in March, right around the time the lockdown first went into effect, we had just shut down our second location, Time Out Market, and and we needed to empty out everything from there. And so we consolidated all of our inventory from Brooklyn and Manhattan. And we were basically trying to kind of clear everything out, which is kind of a huge feat in itself. But that week, we reached out to the Food Hub NYC group, who was working with public schools in the city. At that time, the public schools had just shut down, and kids who were from, kind of lower income housing and kids who relied on the schools to get their meals were, out of a way of receiving those meals. And so they created these, they reached out to restaurants and created a group to provide free meals. So we participated in that for that week. And then I think after that, the public schools started giving out free meals on their own. Mm-hmm. So they had, they didn't have a need for the Food Hub anymore.
Yeah, but at that week, I mean, definitely you guys were helping to fill a very critical gap in the system.
Yeah. And then I think it was after that that we really quarantined for a couple of weeks. But when we kind of came back from the self-quarantining, we reached out to a few organizations and linked up with Off Their Plate, which is a nonprofit working with the World Central Kitchen, and they have been instrumental in coordinating meal deliveries to hospitals and kind of scheduling these meal drops to hospitals for us. So we do about like 400 to anywhere from like 400 to 700 a week. It's been a great way for us to keep operations going too.
Right. Yeah. That's a incredible service you're providing, and really great to hear that you guys are staying busy with the rest of the year looking so drastically different. What would you say would be like the best case scenario for the rest of 2020?
I think that we definitely need more seating, and we're working with our neighboring businesses to reach out to the city to basically pedestrianize our streets so that we can open up our doors and have extra tables outside. I think that's going to be critical for our survival for the rest of the year. And basically, you know, continuing with this pantry program, and kind of doing a hybrid of dine-in and, you know, kind of a stronger takeout delivery menu. I think that it's really going to be key to every restaurant to really figure out like the how to continue whatever like delivery takeout program they're doing while also adjusting to having like a half capacity restaurant.
Right. Finding that balance too.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Were you guys doing delivery before the pandemic hit?
We were, but I think that, you know, our menu is not conducive to, our regular menu is not conducive to like takeout and delivery so much. So it wasn't like a big source of revenue for us.
Mm-hmm.
We've definitely adapted our menu to kind of more casual type service. So like, so right now we're doing bento bowls and noodle soups as opposed to our regular dinner items.
Right. And then those are definitely more takeout friendly.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the regular dinner items are now appearing as the meal kits we were just mentioning. So like the salmon hand roll kit is something that is like an adaptation of something we do at the restaurant.
Yeah, a lot of, adaptation, some creativity there, mm-hmm. It sounds like. So outside of Besso Work, which has definitely been keeping you guys very busy, what else have you been up to? Have you been able to, you know, carve some space for yourselves during this time?
I think I've tried to be like, pretty responsible and stay home most of the time, but I've done a couple puzzles. I've done
500-piece or 1,000-piece.
I think I did 1,000, and then I did a 500, and I'm like, okay, no more puzzles.
Right, you checked off those boxes.
Yeah, and we've also been cooking a lot at home, so it's been. I've also been like baking and like. Doing a couple things, especially during the quarantine. But I just go for long walks. That's it. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I live with my boyfriend and his 6-year-old son, and I also have a dog. So, like his son definitely keeps me busy.
Right.
Have you
been homeschooling?
Oh my gosh, homeschooling is like a full-time job. God bless people.
Definitely. Yeah, God bless our teachers.
Exactly. I'm like, oh my gosh, New York City school teachers, you guys are like saints. we've been doing a lot of like kid-friendly meals at home and take a lot of walks with my dog, Kombu. I've also been kind of like, same as Emily, not going out so much and kind of trying to stay home, but I guess walking more in the neighborhood and just like trying to stay active as much as I can locally.
Yeah, and finding little pleasures from that, I'm sure. I think we're all in this time like rediscovering and appreciating our neighborhoods. What are some like really comforting meals you guys have been making or even meals that kind of like help you escape to like a different cuisine or time and space?
I've been trying to do kind of different cuisines kind of every time I cook. So I mean, we've been making like a lot of pies. So like like with the summer season, I think we did like a blueberry pie recently because it's like the blueberries are really good right now. I think last week I made like Mediterranean food. So I made some like flatbreads. It's been like nice to kind of cook like other cuisines that I don't normally cook. So
Yeah, I mean, for us, we've been doing a lot of kid-friendly meals, so like different versions of mac and cheese, a lot of like baked lasagna and like pizza at home kind of stuff.
Yes, finding comfort in the carbs.
Definitely carby comfort food for us. But I'm also like cooking a lot more Japanese at home. So like summertime for me is like all about chilled noodles. So I've been having like chilled noodles with whatever, you know, whatever's like light and delicious, like in and like vegetables in season and stuff. So I do that like a couple times a week.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like both of you guys are taking advantage of the local produce and seasonality when cooking too. What are the first things you're gonna do when the city fully reopens?
Eat at a restaurant.
Yes.
It's like, it's just gonna, I mean, it's very simple, but like, yeah, like, I mean, I've been getting takeout and eating on the street, and like, you know, it's just really not the same when you're like in a restaurant and like have people around you and it's buzzing, and like, you know, you get to have a conversation with, you know, your waitress or a bartender, and like, you know, it's just, yeah, I think that's like the thing I'm most like look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The full experience.
I don't know. Hopefully, like, we'll be able to like eat, have a glass of wine or something, and like enjoy the outdoors in some, you know, like outdoor bar area or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a semblance of normalcy.
Yeah, and to like hug people.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, outside of my like boyfriend, like we have not had, you know, like there has not been much physical touch, so it's like hugging friends and, you know, seeing family and stuff. It's, yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think just not like thinking so much about, you know, germs and everything is going to be really nice. But who knows when that will be.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon, fingers crossed, we're on our way. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Maiko and Emily, for chatting with me. Wishing you and the entire Besso family all the best during this time. And honestly, I can't wait to see you guys in person, hopefully very, very soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
That's it for our show. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. As always, we appreciate your support, and it would mean so much if you could leave us a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another conversation from the world of Asian food.
Feast Meets West is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to find out more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The Comedian Who Ranks Apples Using an Elaborate 100-Point System, The Secret History of Grocery Stores, and How to Eat Your Way Through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.